The Shepherd Study, helping pastors discover literature to broaden their ministries. This week we look at Bach in the Music of Heaven by John Elliott Gardner. Our reviewer this week is Pastor Jeremiah Gum. Sir John Elliott Gardner is one of the world's leading conductors. He is particularly well known for his work with Baroque music, especially the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. He founded the Monteverde Choir and Orchestra, the English Baroque Soloists, the Orchestra de l'Opéra de Lyon, and the Orchestra de Révolutionnaire et Romantique. He has recorded over 250 albums and currently serves as the president of the Bach Archiv Leipzig. There is a story told from India of a group of blind men who come upon an elephant and touch it to find out what it is like. Each blind man touches a different part of the elephant and thinks that what he feels, for example, the tusk, the side, the tail, is what the elephant is actually like. Each is so convinced of what he has discovered that when the blind men come back together, none of them can agree. In the end, none of them could describe what an elephant is really like, because each focused so much on the parts. John Elliott Gardner's Bach Music in the Castle of Heaven is in many ways like the story of the blind men and the elephant. Gardner is a world-renowned expert on Bach's music. So when he describes Bach's music, or his texts from Scripture or Lutheran hymnody, Gardner describes the elephant in beautiful ways that only one who has spent countless hours with Bach's music could describe. His descriptions make you want to listen to Bach's music and meditate on it, to ponder the glorious scriptural truths and beautiful Lutheran poetry he puts to music. Gardner's descriptions of Bach's musical works make you want to listen through this book. Yet, when Gardner takes on the life of Bach, particularly when he tries to fill in biographical gaps left by centuries of silence, or when he speaks of Bach's spirituality, he proves to be a blind man who struggles to describe what he himself does not personally know. One gets the impression that Gardner is a secularist who has had fleeting contact with the Word of God and therefore has little understanding of God's Word, and who typically gives the impression that the glorious scriptural truths portrayed in Bach's musical works are something he views from the outside looking in. Occasionally, like the blind men, he gets a correct description in part of Scripture's beauty put to heavenly music, but many of his historical and theological conclusions seem off base to the confessional Lutheran reader. It does not help that he takes a negative view towards Orthodox evangelical Lutheranism. Gardner is a musician, an expert on the musical works of Johann Sebastian Bach. He is an engaging writer with a fascinating narrative style that makes for easy reading, but he is no historian. This historical and musical dissonance comes across throughout Bach, Music in the Castle of Heaven, which can be frustrating to a thoughtful Lutheran reader. One of the greatest challenges for any historian trying to tackle the life and work of Johann Sebastian Bach is the fact that Bach left so little in the way of personal diaries and intimate family correspondence. Much of his surviving correspondence is of a professional nature. Bach was also reluctant to reveal much about himself or his thoughts. The resource that has served as the basis for many biographical works, the Necrologue, was written by Bach's sons 4 years after his death. Not unlike modern obituaries, they did their best to portray their father in the best light. That is why Gardner admits in the preface, quote, Bach, the musician, is an unfathomable genius. Bach, the man, is all too obviously flawed, disappointingly ordinary, and in many ways still invisible to us. End quote. Gardner attempts to reveal what is behind the curtain, to deconstruct the myth of Bach and reconstruct the real Bach, with a modest attempt at digging into other primary sources from school and town records in locations where Bach lived or worked. Unfortunately, the early records rarely refer to Bach himself, and meeting minutes can only say so much. To fill in the gaps, Gardner speculates freely whether in reference, wherever there may be a gap in Bach's biography, from what Bach was really like as a student to what he was really thinking when he took on different positions in different locations. Admittedly, Gardner does do a fine job of demonstrating that Bach was in many ways a flawed, ordinary, sinful human being just like the rest of us, and not the legend by which he has so often been portrayed since his death in 1750. However, Gardner usually fails to acknowledge how Bach understood that he was simul justus et peccator, who leaned completely on the grace of God in Christ, a point often reflected in Bach's musical works. Now, a Lutheran pastor might rightfully ask, quote, if Gardner is such a poor historian, then what good is this book? End quote. In answer to that question, one simply needs to read his chapters on the musical works of Bach, especially chapters 6 through 13, to see the true value that Bach, Music in the Castle of Heaven, has for theological readers. While Gardner may be an outsider looking in, theologically speaking, he is still an expert on the musical works of Johann Sebastian Bach, in particular Bach's cantatas and other choral works. At times, Bach's musical expression of scriptural truths or of Lutheran hymnody is so clear that even a bumbling interpreter like Gardner cannot get in the way. For example, Chapter 9, Cycles and Seasons, is a fascinating discussion and history of Bach's cantata cycles. Gardner does do a great service to his readers by providing BWV references for each work, making them much easier to find from the Bach catalog of music. Gardner's discussions of Bach's passions, especially his St. John's Passion, were particularly interesting to this reviewer, and his discussion of the history behind Bach's Mass in B minor is fascinating. Even Gardner's look at how Bach viewed music and language in Chapter 12, Collision and Collusion, is worth a read, simply to see a clear example of how Bach was a sinner and yet a saint, even as a composer. The book also has a solid, detailed chronology, an excellent and helpful glossary, beautiful illustrations and photos, and an index for the reader. Is this a book that pastors should have on their shelves? Historically speaking, a work like Christoph Wolff's Johann Sebastian Bach, The Learned Musician, would be a better Bach biography. Musically speaking, however, a pastor could find great value in the exposition on Bach's musical works that Gardner brings out from his personal experience with the works themselves. As long as you recognize Gardner's secular worldview in his interpretations, Bach, Music in the Castle of Heaven, would be a worthwhile addition in the pastor's library.